You are listening to the Embrace What Matters podcast. My name is John Mihalik. I'm a seminary-trained author and speaker with over 25 years' experience encouraging others in the areas of spiritual life change and authentic relationship. My goal is to bridge the things of eternity with everyday experience. We're taking a break from the Belonging to Him series for the holiday season, and we'll pick back up with part two on January 17th. This week, you'll be hearing a sermon I shared from a three-part New Year's series while pastoring a church in the country of Honduras. If this podcast encourages you and helps you, can I ask that you please write a review and leave a rating? It will simply help more people find the podcast who, like you, may be searching for more purpose and meaning. Thanks again for listening, and enjoy this week's episode.
I don't know that there is a collection, a thematic collection of music that is generally more beautiful and well done than Christmas music, so I like that we can extend it a little. However, I'm not going to be preaching on Christmas this morning. I am going to spend time on New Year's, talking about New Year's. And you see the photo of Times Square in New York and the countdown from 10 and the ball that drops. I don't know why. It's fairly pointless programming the older I get, but I always watch it every year. Started with Dick Clark. But New Year's is a very unique time in different ways. But as far as the consideration of our lives, it's a very unique time. And birthdays, weddings, funerals, we will often evaluate our lives at those times. But we will also consider the concept of time. But I think maybe more, the most regular thing where we do that is New Year's Eve. We get to the end of the calendar year, and this, you know, as far as I know, it's celebrated worldwide. We get to the end of the calendar year in 2018, and we start to reflect, and we think about, where am I in time? What's my life like? What's the last year been like? Where am I headed? You know, that's what we do during New Year's. We tend to evaluate, and we think about the idea of time. And as we get closer to midnight, we also think about the scarcity of time. You know, the older we get, you know, how much time do I have left? I found this out on the internet. Hourglass. Time left and stuff to do. Right? We evaluate that. We think about the concept of time during New Year's, and we reflect. And so our awareness of time is absolutely a biblical thing. It's something that's very important. So I want to be talking about time this morning. And why is time so important? Why does your awareness of time matter? Well, some of you have heard me say this previously, maybe in Sunday school. Time is about context. And if you're not familiar with the word context, you ever heard they took me out of context? Meaning they didn't get my meaning based on what I was intending to say. Context is a word that's used in language. Context defines who you are. Who you are, what you think, what you say, and what you do. So I'm going to give some examples to sort of explain this, and I think you'll understand it. I'm going to give some language examples. So context defines. Consider the word trunk. T-R-U-N-K, trunk. The definition of the word trunk is determined by its context, or the words that surround it. That's what context is, right? So, for example, a hickory trunk in the forest. What is that? It's a tree, right? A swaying trunk in the African jungle. Elephant, right? A padlocked trunk in the baggage compartment. It's a suitcase. It's baggage, right? Same word. T-R-U-N-K. Pronounced the same. But based on its context or what surrounds it, it's defined differently, isn't it? And we could come up with other examples. So the same thing applies with time. Time is related to context, and it defines you. You are surrounded by your past, your present, and your future. So who you are, what you think, and what you do will most often be guided by where you are in time. And it's part of the evaluation that we're in during this time, approaching New Year's Eve. So I went and looked at time, thinking I was going to preach a sermon on New Year's and time, and was reminded that not only is the concept of time a biblical concept, but it is all over Scripture. It is used everywhere. And so I told my wife, I said, my sermon had some babies because I was just going to do one message on time. But I said, yeah, that's crazy. I got to do a few more. So I'm going to do 3 weeks on the issue of time in Scripture. Today, we're going to kind of focus on more of the attitude that we have around New Year's. I think next week, I'm going to focus on the question, what time is it? Meaning, where am I right now in time? How do I behave based on where I am in time? And then part three, I think, will be making the most of time. But today, and that phrase is from Ecclesiastes, which we'll see, I think, next week, a time for every purpose under heaven. Today, I want to focus on sort of the New Year's thing that we do, forward and back again, forward and back again. And for the Tolkien nerds in the room, I needed to throw down There and Back Again, A Hobbit's Tale by Bilbo Baggins. It's from The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, but I knew people would be offended if they heard that and said, that sounds a little similar, but no. Forward and back again. Forward and back again. When I get to New Year's Eve, I'm usually kind of in that mindset, right? I'm about to enter into 2019, but I'm also looking at 2018. So forward and back again is something when it comes to where am I in the context of time, looking back, looking forward. One of the things I think it's important to understand regarding the concept of time in general, but also when it comes to us looking forward and backward, is that God is sovereign. God is in control of time. God created everything. He created the universe, and he also created time. Now, we might think that since God is eternal, and since he's timeless, that he doesn't really care about time. But again, if you look at Scripture, just do a word study, just the English translation of time, you will see that God created the universe very much emphasizing the importance of time, the structure, the boundaries of time, that kind of thing. Genesis 1, 5 verses into the Bible, it says, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. So time is emphasized right at the very beginning. The structure and the organization and the boundaries of time are emphasized. And the fact that God is setting this up. God is setting up these boundaries. Psalm 104, God made the moon to mark the seasons and the sun knows its time for setting. So we'll see some of this maybe in one of the future messages. But God sets up all the constraints of time that we see in the world. God is sovereign over time. He is in control. This is a passage from Joel, Job 39. If you don't know Job, it's a book about a guy that has a lot of suffering in his life. And so he asks a lot of questions, you know, why this, why me, that kind of thing. And towards the end of Job, God starts to answer him, but the answer isn't, why is this happening? The answer is, I'm God and you're not. And he says this to Job in regards to time. He says to Job, he says, do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you know that? Do you observe the calving of the does? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And do you know the time that they give birth, when they crouch bringing forth their offspring and are delivered of their young? What's he saying? He's saying, I'm God and you're not. But he's also saying, you have no real concept of time the way I do. I am the creator of time, right? I have set all this up. And he gives a bunch of other examples to Job of why he is God and Job is not. And that's ultimately Job's answer, that he needs to trust in God's control over creation, that God knows what he's doing and I don't. So I need to divine myself. The ultimate context of my life, that which surrounds me, needs to come from this sovereign God. So looking forward. Looking forward is important, right? You go into a job interview. They say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I don't always have an answer to that question. But it's based on the idea of what, how are you viewing time? Do you have a plan for your life, right? We need to have plans for our lives. We need to have some sense of purpose. People aren't going to really have purpose or meaning in their lives unless they are looking forward, unless they're planning, unless they see a future ahead of them. So looking forward is important. We want to look forward into 2019 and have a plan. Hebrews 11 is a chapter on faith, but it's really a chapter about looking forward. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. And then if you've read the chapter, you see there's all sorts of these examples in Scripture of all these people of faith who based their lives on the idea that they were moving forward to something. They had a hope for something, heaven, whatever it was, right? And they adjusted their lives based on that context of moving forward into God. God had promised something, and it was by faith that they stepped forward. Faith is really just another way of saying sight, foresight. You're looking ahead into things that are not yet seen. So looking forward is important, and it's really related to faith. So should we look back? Should we look back? Again, maybe you have this opinion yourself. Many people in our culture do. You'll hear it all the time, that looking back is not good. It is not appropriate or healthy for you to look back. You'll hear people say it. I said, I don't dwell on the past. I don't think about the past. I'm always looking forward, right? To look at the past is pointless. I need to move forward. So is there ever a time where looking back is appropriate? I think part of where we get this is Philippians 3, maybe a few other places. Paul is speaking. He says, brethren, I do not consider myself as having laid hold of it yet. He's talking about knowing Christ, maturity in Christ, that kind of thing. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of which of upward call of in God in Christ Jesus. So he is about moving forward in this passage, right? Similar to the people in Hebrews 11. Having faith to step forward and focus on the goal. That's Paul's attitude here. But he says, forgetting that which is behind. So does that prove it, that we should never think about the past, that we should never look back, we should always press forward? Sometimes that's true. There are categories in our life where that's true. I think part of it is the context of this passage is what Paul wanted to forget was the things that he used to value, that he used to place his trust in, prestige, religion, all right? Everything that was against Jesus, he wanted to not think about. And he wanted to focus on moving forward into becoming more like Christ. Now, the other thing, though, is the word forget in the original language in the Greek can mean to totally put out of your mind. It can mean that. But another parallel meaning for that word is to hold as negligible, right? You think about it. It doesn't mean it's not in your mind, but it has no power over you. And so in one sense, you could say, I've forgotten about the way I used to be. That's one of the things maybe Paul is saying here. It doesn't mean it was never in his mind. It doesn't mean that he could never learn from it. He's explaining it in this chapter about where he's come from and what he's learned. So it doesn't mean it's never in his mind. It means that it has no power over him. It's negligible, right? So I want to get to a place where the negative stuff in my life isn't necessarily forgotten, but it doesn't have any control over me anymore, right? The unforgiveness, the abuse, whatever it was in my past, the bad behavior, it doesn't have control over me anymore, and I'm moving forward towards Jesus. But I don't think it means that we should never look at our past. The Bible, in other places, contradicts that, and we're going to see that. A Russian proverb says, dwell in the past, and you'll lose an eye. Forget the past, and you'll lose both eyes. So, yes, we should not dwell in the past, but there is something to be valued from remembering, from looking back. We do that at New Year's. Our past with God is vital for our future. Our past with God is vital for our future. 1 Samuel 12 says, consider what great things the Lord has done for you. We talked about faith. We talked about moving forward. What's the best way to move forward into the unseen? By remembering, considering what God has already done for me. Right? The past helps me move forward with God into my future. What God has done for me in the past, my relationship with God in the past. Romans 15. For whatever was written in earlier times in the past was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. So you see the two bookends, don't you? The past is related to my future, right? It provides me instruction for living forward. It's the same thing with wisdom, right? I learn from my mistakes in the past. I learn from what works in the past so that I can do it in the present, do it in the future, right? But what I want you to see here is that the marker and the best source for going to God in the past isn't just our experience. It's the scriptures. The best way to see who God was in the past isn't just who God was to me, but who God was to everyone, right? The scriptures are there for us. What was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So I'm going to really kind of emphasize this, and it's something that churches will emphasize during the new year. Have you been reading your Bible lately? One way to understand the concept of time, the way God views time, how time can define me in my relationship with God, is to go to the scriptures. And I'm going to play that out a little bit here. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8 is one of my favorite chapters when it comes to the concept of time. And Deuteronomy itself, it's, you know, the fifth book of the Bible. It's part of the Torah, the law. Deuteronomy simply means the law repeated. And Moses is at the tail end of the wilderness wanderings with Israel. And he is repeating the law. He's rehashing the law for the people prior to them entering into the promised land. That's one of the ways that you can look at Deuteronomy. It's looking towards the promised land by rehashing what do the scriptures have to say? What do they have to teach us? What has God done for us already? So that's one of the reasons Deuteronomy is very helpful. Deuteronomy 8 is especially helpful because it really gets into this concept of forward and back again. So it begins with verse 1, the whole commandment that I commanded you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. So again, they are about to move forward into the promised land. And Deuteronomy 8 is talking about a few things. It's talking about the scriptures as a way to found our lives to help us move forward. But it's also going to, as we're going to see, talk about looking back. What does it mean to look back? It also says, and I'm going to read several passages, you shall remember, it's telling us to look back, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, right? They're about to enter into the promised land. So he's saying, remember, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So you're going to see this interwoven emphasis of the importance of scripture when it comes to remembering, looking back, when it comes to moving forward. He says, he, God, humbled you and let you hunger these past 40 years in the past. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. So, again, New Year's, right? The top 10 lists. How was 2018, right? We look at the culture in general, but we also look at our lives, you know. Was my life a wilderness wandering in 2018? Was I living with lack? Did I have a lot of trials? Was my life a life of plenty, perhaps? Where was God, right? God is saying, look back at these 40 years and saying, all right, these were the circumstances, right? You didn't have a lot to eat, but I fed you. Your clothing did not wear out, even though you probably only had one set of clothes or whatever, right? You lived with lack, but looking back, I cared for you. The context of this is moving forward. They're about to move forward into a new journey, a new year. But God's building the ammunition for their faith by showing them, this is how I cared for you when you had nothing. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. So he's talking about what's forward. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. This is in contrast to what they've come from. And you shall eat and be full. And you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So looking back at 2018 or your recent past, were you in a time of wilderness wandering? Was it been a time of lack? A lot of people at this church are coming down here with scarcity from the United States and North America, even teachers and people from the embassy. You're giving up certain things to come here, right? So you're living with a lot of scarcity, and you're also living with the need to trust in God's provision. So what was your year like looking back? Was it a time of scarcity? Was it a time of fullness? But where was God? Did God meet your needs? Did your clothes wear out? Were you hungry, but God fed you? Looking back is important for looking forward. But he goes on in Deuteronomy 8, and he says this, but take care, lest when you're moving forward, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. So again, he's returning to the Bible. He's returning to God's commandments. Lest when you have eaten and are full, they're about to enter into a new season, when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. So here's a time where he's definitely saying, don't forget. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, right? Looking at the past, out of the house of slavery. Who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. Who brought you water out of the flinty rock. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that they might humble you and test you to do good in the end. This sovereign God has a plan for your life, and he's shown these people that these 40 years, look, I brought you out of slavery. I brought you out of bondage, and then I fed you and took care of you these 40 years. You need to remember this, because you're about to enter a time where you're not going to need me so much anymore. And if you don't remember, you're not going to follow my commandments and be successful in moving forward. Beware, it goes on to say, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Again, God's pointing out his sovereignty, his control over creation. his provision. I look back at my year and I look at the ups and the downs and I evaluate my year. But if I don't really remember that it was God the one, he was the one that was there to take care of me. That if I had any benefit in my life, it ultimately had to come from God. If I forget those things and I move into 2019 trusting in my own ability, where am I going to be? I'm going to neglect his commandments. I'm not going to listen to him anymore. And I'm going to get in trouble that way. So, New Year's. Again, it's a time when many churches will say, all right, time to dust off the Bible. It's time to get back into the Bible if that's something you've been neglecting. Again, lots of people in the room work in ministry, and you look at the Bible throughout the year. I will say, teacher, missionary, whatever, pastor, it is so easy to just be in the Bible for the sake of teaching others and never be in the Bible for yourself. That gets so easy, right? All I'm doing is prepping another lesson for somebody else, and there is a huge difference between, it's important, it's helpful, it's a good crutch to lean on sometimes. I'm in the Bible, but there's a different thing when I'm reading the Bible for other people than when I'm reading the Bible for me. And there is also a big difference between, you know, listening to a sermon now and then and having a devotion and that kind of thing, but not really seeing the whole scope of Scripture. For instance, I forgot how much time, the concept of time, is used throughout the entire canon of Scripture. It is everywhere. So if I do not, on a regular basis, doesn't have to be a year through the Bible, but that's a great place to start. If I don't put myself in the entire wisdom of God's canon, I'm missing out. I'm never really going to be fed, and I'm also never really going to understand what surrounds me, the context of God in the past as I move forward. So you can send me an email if you have a bulletin. There's a church email address. I can give you a bunch of suggestions for Bible reading for 2019. There's a number of wonderful plans out there on the internet. I've been using one in 2018. It's been so helpful to read the Bible on a regular basis, usually daily, but also to journal, you know, to put yourself in the entire wisdom of God is so important. It helps me look back. It helps me move forward. Hebrews 12 really is, there weren't chapters in the original scripture, so it's really kind of ending the argument of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 started with, you know, faith is the assurance of things not seen. Those people were commended who followed God in faith, and it lists all the stories of Abraham and everybody else in Hebrews 11 of how they followed God in faith. And then it capsulizes. It ends in Hebrews 12, and it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, some people say, well, those are people in heaven. I don't know. But I think that the context of what is being spoken in Hebrews is the great cloud of witnesses is the people that just preceded in Hebrews 11. It's all those people who have been there. They followed God in faith. They've moved forward into the unseen. So looking back at them, since we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking back helps me move forward, gives me the faith, gives me the power to move forward. Where do we move forward? Towards Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility of sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the encouragement is about moving forward. But Jesus is kind of the bookend. The Word of God is the bookend, right? I look back at the previous witness of Scripture, of those people who entered into the unknown, the way I'm about to enter into the unknown in 2019, right? How do I have some faith that that's going to happen? Not only because God has been with me in the past, but because God has been with the people of Scripture. Scripture is so important for us to have these concrete examples of people who live their lives trusting in God, in his sovereignty, in his plan. And then we move forward, and Jesus is there waiting for us at the finish line, right? He's behind us. He was born on Christmas, but he's also there at the finish line. He says, I've done this. I finished this. You know, the marathon or whatever where you're urging someone on to finish the race, he is before us. So Deuteronomy 31 is near the end of that book, and this is Moses kind of wrapping things up and commissioning Joshua to enter into the promised land, right? Joshua is going to take over and go into this new thing. And he tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. This is his encouragement. You've seen this phrase. He says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So, again, sometimes hindsight gets us in trouble. We look back at all these stories and we assume that, you know, Joshua must have had all this great amount of confidence. But up to this time, he had not entered the promised land yet. He had not entered into these new challenges. He had faith, right? He was one of the guys that says, look, we can go in and conquer, right? But he hadn't done it yet. It was still an unknown for Joshua. And Moses' encouragement was, be strong and courageous. How could he say that? Because he knew that Joshua was one of the few guys that had been there before. The entire time. He was in Egypt. He experienced the slavery, the bondage. He was there those 40 years. So he saw everything that's described in Deuteronomy 8, that God had taken care of him, that God had helped him overcome all these challenges. So God was going to do it again. God was not going to leave him. The same God that helped him in the past was going to help him moving forward. Joshua 1, Joshua himself is carrying on that message as they enter the promised land. He says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left so that you may have success wherever you go. So again, we come back to Scripture. Moving forward and backwards, right? Having a concept of where we are in time. Looking back and learning from those lessons from 2018, moving forward into 2019 has to be founded upon our guidance from the Scriptures. The Scripture is the best way for us to look back. The Scriptures are the best way for us to look forward. Joshua 1:8 goes on. It says, therefore, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. So I understand we're going to have a few fireworks in the coming days. People are going to be rejoicing and thinking about the new year, the celebration. But I want you to use that time when you're maybe plugging your ears to think about time. Use that time to think about time. Where are you in time? What is God's view of time? How should I look at time and where I am in my life based on God's control over time? What has my year been like? Looking back, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Where did I fail? Where did I succeed? Why did I fail? Why did I succeed? What parts of that was related to my obedience to God's commandments? It's a good time to evaluate. It's a good time to think about those things. There's nothing wrong with a New Year's resolution. People do those. I would say perhaps the best resolution you could do would be to pick a Bible plan, join a Bible study, start putting yourself on a more regular basis in the Bible, not just to teach others, but to become closer to God yourself. There is a purpose under heaven, and it's often guided by the structure and boundaries of time. So we're gonna look into this a little bit more in the next few weeks. Again, next week will be what time is it? Where am I? What season am I in? How should I behave and think about life based on where I am? And then the final week will be about making the most of our time. So let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the newness of life. We thank you that we are a new creation with you as Christians born of your Spirit. We're thankful that one day all things will be made new, that creation itself and the groaning suffering that we deal with now will be eradicated, and we will walk in newness of life for eternity with no more tears and no more suffering, no more mistakes. But Lord, we're not there yet, so we just ask that we can remember the power of the past witnesses who have come before us, those people in Scripture, the friends we know, those who have walked forward into the unknown of their future, trusting in you, knowing that you are there to care for us. You're there to discipline us and guide us and teach us, that we can learn from our mistakes, that we can hold as negligible the life that held us in bondage, but at the same time to learn not to repeat those mistakes. Lord, I pray for every heart in the room today and just for the new year that's ahead of us, that we can focus fundamentally on how we are when it comes to your commandments, to your provision, to your control and sovereignty and care over creation. We ask that we move forward into 2019 with renewed hearts, knowing that you are above all, that you are above time itself. I pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let me close with Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We are entering 2019 serving and following a faithful God. This is a new year. This is a new time. Amen.
This podcast is produced by Embrace What Matters Ministries and is available most anywhere podcasts can be found. I encourage you to subscribe, share, and please leave a comment or send me an email. To learn more about this ministry, my devotional book, and other writings, please visit embracewhatmatters.com.